Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio is on Play.it.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 686. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week also is co-host of the show. We have Pete in the house. Pete!
What is up?
What's going on, man?
I'm a little exhausted, but I have my café con Peter.
Oh, café con Peter. By the way, I got my café here. Look. Yeah. Check it out. This is my cafe.
Oh, so we got the same mug. Sweet.
Oh, really? This wasn't planned.
No.
This wasn't planned at all.
This is my go-to. This is my preferred coffee cup. The reason I'm exhausted today is I had a long day yesterday collecting comic books and going on a tour of sorts of South Florida comic book shops with my brother-in-law and one of my good friends, Eddie. Then from there, got home. Watched the USC fight. I'm not going to spoil it, but that last fight, I'm happy.
Okay.
And then got to bed late and was up an hour and a half later to take my daughter to summer camp. She will be in summer camp for 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. So I have no children in the house again for 2 weeks. Actually, no, less, about a week. And then my son comes back from FSU summer classes. So it's going to be, it's been an interesting couple of 12 hours. So I'm kind of exhausted, but I'm trying to get the energy in for the show because we need it. How have you been, dude?
Good. I was in New York for less than 24 hours last week. That was a lot of fun. That trip was really cool. Really cool. I can't say much about the stuff that I got to see. You know, the only thing I can say was about Mario Rabbids.
Okay.
If you're a fan of Mario Rabbids, you're going to like that. You're going to like it. Yeah. That's all I have to say for now. But I got a couple of cool things from the event.
Good. Looking forward to hear about it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes. We're everywhere. Just search for Gamertag Radio and subscribe. And if you can, post a review. And if you want to, you can watch us live here on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/GamertagRadio. We're live Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure to tune in and subscribe or follow us. Support GTR.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Pete, we got to talk about this because we've been kind of quiet about this stuff that's been happening now for like, what, a couple of days?
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting.
If you can, Pete, let's talk about this, man. Remember a couple months ago, we had Curtis Smith here. He talked about the Gamer Cruise that was going to happen in October of later this year. And he invited us, Gamer Tag Radio. He also invited a couple of people to from the gaming community and the gaming industry, YouTubers, Twitch streamers. I think the Video Games Live, we're going to perform there. Hip Hop Gamer, a couple other people that we know too. Blonde Nerd, you know, Brittany, she's a big YouTuber too. And also podcaster just started. Shout out to her. So we just read that there's been a lot of issues going on. You want to talk more about it? Because I know you also read, you read it too.
Yeah, I mean, we Paris and I actually, like, he was like, Pete, need to call. I need to talk to you ASAP. Call me. And like, just gotten home. So as Danny said, we were contacted a couple of months ago by Video Tech or Gamer Tech Events.
Yes.
To participate in the first of its kind, the first video game themed cruise. If you take some time to think about it, that would have been, Paris says fake news. that's actually perfect. So the concept was it was going to be a totally game, video game themed event on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. About 2,500 participants, whether it would have been hosts, streamers, video gamers, cosplayers, people from the industry, and so on a Royal Caribbean cruise. And after a while, everybody was, you know, I mean, we heard about it. We were excited because, you know, they gave us an opportunity to not only attend, but we were going to be able to treat our wives, you know, those that support us in the background, the things that you guys don't see out there in audio and video land. But, you know, they put up with us and they help support us on the back end, just, you know, from a stability standpoint. And they help us support our dreams and our goals doing this GTR thing. Mm-hmm. So we felt, you know, that would have been an awesome opportunity for them to see what it's like that we do, and then give them also a break, you know, give them a little vacation. And I mean, it essentially would have been the first time we would have gotten the families together, right? Like, aside from me, Danny, and Paris hanging out on, you know, whenever we get to see each other at an event or whether it's E3 or whatever. But this would have been a chance for us to hang out. Yes, it would have still been a gaming event, but we would have had our wives with us, and I think that would have been a really good fun time for all of us. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, another website was not so confident in a lot of the things that were being promised or stated by Gamer Tech Events. And so they started doing some research, and they ended up finding out that some of the things weren't true. Some of the things, including Delta not supporting or sponsoring the event. The other one being that Royal Caribbean had no idea what was going on. They had no dealings or agreements in place with Gamer Tech Events. And so they started questioning the owner. They started questioning Curtis Smith, and Curtis Smith acknowledged to them that yes, they had lost their primary financer, their investor in this venture. But they felt that in an attempt to save the event, they were going to keep it from the public because they were still pursuing an additional investor to supplement what they were doing. They weren't really lying when they said that Red Bull Media was supporting it, because according to them, if you called up Red Bull Media and you said, it's my birthday, would you help cater it? They'll actually do that. You know, they'll actually send you Red Bull. So Red Bull themselves wasn't doing it, but Red Bull Media was. But only in the sense that it was, you know, they were only supplying product. So on and so forth. They kept doing some more digging, and they spoke to Delta. Delta said, nope, sorry, we're not supporting this. We have nothing to do with this. They spoke and they dug in deeper with Royal Caribbean, and they said, no, Royal Caribbean has nothing to do with this event. So because none of the money actually ever went into the hands of the people at Royal Caribbean, all of the monies being paid by attendees were going into this Eventbrite page that Curtis Smith had set up on behalf of the event or the chartered event. And that money was going straight into his pocket. So people like Paris and his wife would have shown up at the airport and been like, yep, sorry, you're not on the plane. You know, Danny and I would have driven up because, you know, we're here in Florida. We would have just driven up to Port Canaveral where the cruise was supposed to take off. And they would have been like, "Nope, sorry, we don't have you on the list. We don't know what you're talking about. Get out." You know, so that, you know, left a really, really bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. I've followed up on GamerTech Events' Instagram and their Twitter pages. They said that they did find an additional investor, but they can't talk about it just yet, which scares me to no end because I feel really bad for all of the people that had contributed money to this. And this actually reminds me, we actually talked about this offline, how it reminds me of how the whole, you know, Ja Rule's Fire Festival in the Bahamas was supposed to play out. And that didn't pan out the way, you know, and that was a logistical nightmare and didn't happen. So, you know, while I feel bad for those that had purchased things, Curtis has said on his Twitter and in communications that they will reimburse or refund money for to people who had spent and purchased tickets. So if, you know, obviously this is something that we at GTR, we've taken the decision to step away and no longer support the video tech events or gamer tech events and the video gamer gauntlet cruise. We're not going to be supporting it. We're not going to be attending.
We're basically pulling out.
100%. I mean, we can't support it. Obviously, because you know, it puts us in a negative light if we associate ourselves with a company that, you know, obviously that doesn't do anything, you know, that can't support or do their things. And plus they're using our likeness and our name for advertising. Actually, you can actually go to I'm actually looking at the website. Says the site is temporarily down.
I believe they also got a letter from Royal Caribbean to shut it down too.
Not to shut down the site because the site still belongs to them, but anything pertaining to the cruise, they did get a cease and desist letter from Royal Caribbean. So they're not allowed to essentially promote the cruise going through them. So, and plus I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that cruise has already been sold to actual attendees, like to actual like cruise people, like people who were going to be on the cruise that went through either a legitimate travel site or people, you know, who had purchased tickets directly through Royal Caribbean or like travel, you know, Travelocity or any of those travel brokerages. So those are the only people that are going to be on that cruise. So if you're listening to the show or you're watching the stream and you participated and you put money in it, request your refund as soon as possible. The last thing you want to do is be left out there. I still don't. I mean, obviously, we don't know anybody that has legitimately gotten their money back from a refund request.
Well, I heard that I think it takes 7 days or more. I think because of the site that they're using for the purchase of the tickets. I think it's an event. Oh my God, I can't remember the name of the website. But yeah, it's gonna take at least 7 to 15 days or 14 days to get the money back. So
right. So again, I put in your request now. Hopefully, he has not, you know, spent this on Vegas style weekends for himself and his friends. Hopefully those that you know, that were looking forward to participating in this, A, get their money back. B, you know, because obviously that's the most important thing at this point, is to make sure that whatever money they put in is recouped by whether it be an attendee or whomever. I kind of also feel bad for the people who, like, on our side, like the hip hop gamers and like the video game, there were supposed to be like tournaments on there, and they had teams that had actually put money towards attending this event in support of their team, right? Because there were supposed to be Smash tournaments and Gears tournaments and other
Call of Duty
and things like that. Yeah. So Overwatch, I believe, is another one. So I really feel bad for those that were relying on things like this for promotional needs and stuff like that. I mean, it's really shady. And, you know, like Paris is saying in the stream right now, if it sounds too good to be true, then it usually is. You know, it's, again, I was looking forward to it. I know you and Paris were as well, and our wives were too. And I mean, again, I'm just glad that it was caught now and not like early mid-October when, you know, we're a week or two out and, you know, this all falls on its face and no, and everybody's stuck. So I'm really glad that this actually came to light, and shout out to, Match Money, I think is the name of the group.
Yeah,
that,
it's
that found
a, it's an esports online betting company.
Match Money or something.
But let me tell you, man, look, I know it's a couple people here watching here and wondering about all this stuff. Let me tell you, creating events is not easy. Pete, we've done a couple in the past. It's not easy. It's not easy, especially when it's like your first one. We made a lot of mistakes in the past, and then eventually we got better and we learned from them, you know? So, I mean, shout out to those that are trying to like create like their own events and all that stuff. And, you know, I wish Curtis the best, you know. There's always both sides of the story. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather for us not to be involved with all that stuff that's been going on. So that's why we decided to pull out. You know, I had him on the show to talk about this. We even tweet about this event on our social media accounts. And it's not only us, but Video Game Lives has done it too in the past. People that were invited to the event, they've been tweeting about it, promoting it in social media. So I think it's time for us to just pull out and focus on other things. Now, the thing is, that weekend, Pete, is a TwitchCon, so maybe we'll go to TwitchCon, right?
That's in October. I 100% think that that's something we should...
You know, yeah, we should
think,
check it out.
Know, we should sit back and seriously consider, because I think that's something that supports GTR more so. Granted, it's not a free trip.
No, it's not. It's not a free trip. Not a free trip.
No, it's not a free trip. But I think that's something we need to, you know, sit back and consider, simply because it helps the show. You know, I've never been. I've never even watched a stream of what goes on at TwitchCon, so I don't know what happens at a TwitchCon.
It's gonna be
just
new to
like
us.
One big Twitch page thing, like, do we just
they have a lot of panels they have a lot of panels events and stuff like that. I mean, you'll check it out. I think a couple companies also go over there to show like their games and stream it on Twitch and everything, so we'll check it out.
Paris is local to it, so if anything, I know Paris would probably be the one that attends. I'm not going to speak for him, but you better go.
But definitely we'll find out more about it. So let's move on, man. Pete, let's talk about Fortnite, because now we've been having enough for a couple of weeks, man. Your thoughts about the game, man? Because you were the one that started playing it first than me. Mm-hmm. I started playing, I think, like a day or two after you, because I had to wait until it was unlocked on the Xbox One version. You're playing the PC version, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I've got it on PC. I'm still on the fence if I'm gonna pop it over to the PlayStation. I likely will, just because there's more people that I think I'd be able to play with, including those in the community. I know, I want to say N2 Cranes is going to be playing it. I know David Too Sly was playing it. I know there's a handful of people. I want to say one other person was looking forward to getting it. I think his name was Carlos. I remember these were people that were on the stream that I was communicating. I was chatting with, as I was doing my gameplay. But for those that don't know, Fortnite is a co-op sandbox survival type game. Think of it as like a third-person tower defense shooter with crafting, right? So if you it's kind of like Minecraft meets Left 4 Dead meets Orcs Must Die. It's probably the easiest way to put it all together. It's made by Epic Games, and People Can Fly, I believe, is the original studio. It was originally announced, I want to say 2011, 2012. It's been in development for a while. No, that might be too long. But yeah,
you said it's been developed since when? For a while?
I want to say 2011, but that might be too far or too long away. Or 2014, okay. I think. Sorry. Because it hasn't been around as long as we thought. But 2014, because that would have made it 4 years in development. Yeah, okay, that sounds about right. It was announced by Cliff Bleszinski at the Video Game Awards when it was first announced. And it was, you know, I looked forward to it back then because of the concept of it's you and five or four other players. You have your squad together. Everybody's got their own specific skill sets. things that they could do, whether it's, you know, faster building or they're better at combat or shooting or long distance or healing or gathering supplies, because that's the most important part of this. And so you're mm-hmm. stuck on a specific part of this planet that's been overrun by zombies. And so you're essentially there to defend the storm shield or defend, you know, a specific concept or part of original part of, you know, wherever the area that you're at. And so you have to gather resources from wood to concrete to metal. If you have to farm or mine components to craft ammo for your guns, you can upgrade your guns, you can upgrade your characters. So mm-hmm. you know, it's a really fun game. Once it's something that you really need to see being played, but the game is so much fun. If you're a subscriber, you can catch the VOD on our channel here. I know Danny's played it a couple of times on his Cafe con Danny mm-hmm. show. So if you want to, if you have an opportunity on Wednesdays and Friday mornings, I believe 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Wednesdays and Fridays. So I'll stream it probably this week again, Friday or
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah. I think I want to do that this weekend as well. So those mm-hmm. are another opportunities as well to do that. Yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so you know, depending on the style of play that you want to do. And obviously the more you play with people, you get to learn other people's strengths and weaknesses. And so like the two main characters that I like to play with are, one of them is more of a soldier. So he gets a better skill bonus for shooting. But the other one I like to play is the ninja, cause he's a lot quicker. He's not as good at shooting, mm-hmm. but he runs around with a sword, and that guy is quick. He can jump, he can do multiple jumps and hops and slashes. It's just a lot of fun. So if that's something that you are in the mood to play, something that's like a tower defense, mm-hmm. Left 4 Dead meets Orcs Must Die and Plants vs. Zombie. Like if you could like throw all of those into a blender and hit go, that's probably the best way to describe what you'd be looking at.
Now, even the tutorial was pretty, it was actually fun. But to me, I mean, I started early now, Pete. You know, I think I played a couple of online games. Mm-hmm. I don't find, maybe it's a difficulty, I got to make it harder or something, but I didn't find the enemies that hard.
No, it's not. It's like you said, you're early on. It's not as difficult now because they're still trying to draw you into the game to ensure that you mm-hmm. like to play. Mm-hmm. I will say though, and I've noticed it further on, because I don't think you and I are on the same area. I think we're closer, or we're a little bit more further apart. I think I'm farther along than you are. Mm-hmm. But if you try to the game's AI or the enemy AI, I don't want to say it's intelligent, but it notices trends and things that you do, and it will mm-hmm. counter what you are trying to achieve. So if you're trying to create a funnel of death where everything comes in through one spot, it starts to split the load of the zombies to go into different directions so that they come mm-hmm. at you from a different angle. So everything that you just built and constructed to funnel them into one spot is no longer viable. And now you got to start all over, either trying to, you know, rebuild or dealing with the craziness that you got to deal with. I know mm-hmm. that there's some people that are asking, is it early access? It is early access.
It is as of July 25th.
From yes. what I understand, they're going free to play in 2018.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So agreed. I don't know how I feel about that, because
I mean, what's wrong with that?
Again, there's nothing wrong with free to play, but I like, I don't know, maybe I just think that there's more opportunity for them to develop better assets if it's a purchasable game. I'm still not 100% sold on free to play being, maybe it's just not me. Maybe lower the price to $20-$30 and sell it like that, as opposed to going, you know, paid model early and then going free to play later, because I think you miss out on a lot of early sale opportunities by mm-hmm. telling them this early in the cycle that, okay, fine, you don't want to pay for it, but wait a couple of months, you know, wait till 2018. And shout out to Mr. Seti J for the subscription. We appreciate and love that, man. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, man. Cool. All right. So let's, we have a, We have a couple of fan mail questions we're going to play here as a voicemail and also email. And I believe on Discord, there's a question there. But anybody that's watching this on Twitch right now, you could also post your questions there and we'll read it. And we're gonna have it here, answer it here on the show.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. One of their missions is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. We've done it here in our house. I know Paris has done it at his as well. And the way they do it is by having a variety of foods. Nobody wants to eat the same things all the time. And one of the great things about the Blue Apron menu is that it's always evolving, never the same thing. So, for example, this week's food options are barramundi and garlic mashed potatoes with corn and tartar sauce. They've got a yakiniku glazed eggplant with shishito peppers and ginger lime cashews. They've also got whole grain pasta and summer vegetables for those that are trying to eat a little bit lighter with heirloom tomato caprese salad. One of the things that also caught me off guard was the chicken and cherry tomato sauce with farro and green bean salad. Obviously, you know, Paris and I have been talking, you know, for the last couple of years about health and fitness. And so we're always on this, you know, this up and down battle of losing weight and whatnot. And things like this, things, you know, meal plans like Blue Apron make it easier to do because they give you portions, portion control, you know, just enough to eat and not be, you know, super stuffed where you're stuck on the couch. But, you know, and the other thing that Blue Apron provides also is by giving you a sustainable food system, high standards of ingredients, and they do this by having partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. So seafood is sourced sustainably from, you know, using the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork products come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. All of these things come together to give people an opportunity to get, you know, amazing food under $10 per person, if you really think about it. Because at the end of the day, people spend a lot of money when you go to restaurants. Me and the wife go out to the restaurant. We take our, you know, we take the kids. Next thing you know, we're like $150, you know, into a meal. And while those are always great, studies actually show that families that cook together actually build, you know, things like that builds those strong family bonds because you're not just sitting across from each other at a table looking at your phone. You're actually in the kitchen talking to people. And so the best way to get, you know, become a part of this is to, you know, go to blueapron.com/gamertag. Go in there, set it up. You'll get to check out your meals. You actually get your first three meals free with free shipping. So all you got to do, blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hey, Pete, thanks, man. And thanks to Blue Apron for sponsoring the show. And now we're going to play an audio that I recorded during my trip to New York City. Ubisoft invited me to check out the new game that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch. Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle is coming out August 29th. And I recorded an interview with the creative director of the game. And if you get the chance, go to my YouTube channel. I'm probably going to also post it in different places and on the website too, on gamertagrail.com. But I recorded also gameplay footage of the game, one of the new levels, World 3. By the way, I have to say this because I can't reveal what happens at the end or who's the boss or anything like that. I can't say anything. But I'll say this. It was like the most memorable boss battles that I've seen in a Mario game in a very long time. I think people are going to be talking about this years from now. They're going to be talking about it. So it was very, very cool. And I got to play a couple things in the single player game. New level, World 3. It's a spooky level. You know, the ghost and everything. Very well designed. Loved it. So get to check out the video of me playing the game, single player of that. And also, we also talked about co-op, how it is a two-player co-op of the game. You could play with the Joy-Cons or separate controllers and everything, but it was a lot of fun. And it's a 20-plus minute video of me playing with another journalist. We got to play the game together and everything. So I believe we had to kill 14 enemies, and we did it together. So it was a lot of fun. So check out our interview. And once we come back, we have more topics here only on Gamer Tag Radio. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I'm here with the creative director of Mario Rabbids. Please, you can introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Davide Sogliani. I'm working as a creative director on Mario Plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and it's an honor to be here.
And we met during E3, and at that time, I was like, oh, my God, this game is so much fun. And actually, I thought, in my opinion, that was like my favorite game of E3. I play a lot of games. This is the one that I had like the most fun out of all the games that I played for E3, man. So props to you, man. Props to you and to your team. But talk about the new stuff that you guys showed to the here at the preview event.
Today, we really wanted to, if at E3, we wanted to show that the game was accessible with a nice challenge, but truly accessible. Today, what we really wanted to do was showing, even if it was quite a big gap between the first world and the third world, all the heroes, their ability, how much weapon we have in the game. We have like 270 weapon, everyone with different statistics and characteristics, such as the super effect and the skill tree especially, and how much the skill tree can leverage all the synergy and the skills existing between all the heroes.
Yeah, I noticed that the first time I got to play this at E3, it was more of like how to play. And like you said, this one is more like the technical side, like, okay. And I noticed that I was using a lot of the Yoshi Rabbit one. Yeah. Because that one, I was taking advantage of like the dash with enemies and stuff like that. So it could get pretty challenging, man, because I played the ghost level. That's one of the first levels you guys show for here. And it's really, really challenging, man. And I'm not going to say anything about what happens at the end, but it was very entertaining. It was really, really awesome. And I was very surprised that you guys actually used a lot of the characters from like the Mario world and stuff put into this game. So I love the combination of both Rabbids and Mario.
Yes, it's exactly what we wanted to do, was to make sure that the people could feel like this was the Mushroom Kingdom, but twisted. So not just seeing something that they knew entirely, but surprising them with different ideas. And I'm glad that you like Spooky, because I waited like 20 years to do the boss battle that we have in the game today. So I hope that you enjoyed it.
Now, when you present this to Nintendo, do you show only like a couple levels of the concept, or do you show them like the majority? Because to me, as a fan of Nintendo, it got my attention big time. Like, man, you guys are doing this right. For those that are fans of Nintendo, they're gonna love this more, and they're probably gonna want to learn more about the Rabbids characters too. That time too. So, do you show everything? Because they probably was in shock. Like, wow, this Spooky level is pretty cool.
Well, the very first time when I proposed the idea to Miyamoto-san, we had only 3 weeks and a half to come up with a prototype. So it was something very, very small, even if it was already showing our intention. After that, when we went to Kyoto again, but at that time we had more time, like 3 months and a half, what we did was an entire level, which was almost like an entire chapter of the game you can try today. And then many, many dojo map. We were calling them dojo bat, basically single level where we were showing every single mechanics, the dash, the thing jump, the shooting, the super effect, the combination between the dash and the thing jump. So these to let the people in Nintendo take a mental photo of the mechanics before jumping to the level that we created to show them how all those mechanics were combining together. And after that, when we finally received the go from Nintendo, where they said, yes, we really want this game to happen, we were basically going there to present the game. Every time we were showing different levels, cinematics, cutscene, lyrics, dialogues.
So how you came up with the concept for the primary and secondary weapons for each character?
Basically, we wanted to create something unique for each character and at the same time allowing them to have the primary weapon without any sort of cooldown, so something that they could rely on every time, at every turn, while the secondary weapon was the second choice. So it's always nice in tactical game to have multiple choice, because it's the choice that create the fun part of making a tactical choice. And where the secondary weapon have an area effect, they can hit multiple target, but then they have a cooldown.
To you, as a fan of the game, how can, like, who is like your favorite character that you use into battles and why? Okay. So many choices.
Yes, so I need to answer with two characters, because my favorite character as a character is Rabbit Peach.
Okay.
My favorite character in battle is Rabbit Mario, probably.
And why those characters?
Well, Rabbit Peach, she's sassy. So she doesn't care while she's in battle. She's there polishing her nails. She can be mean. You will see and you will start to notice how sassy she is, starting from the end of the first world where she's fighting against Rabbit Kong. And the second character, Rabbit Mario, because she's such a poser, but he has this weapon that creates a cone of damage in front of him, and he's almost like a brawler. So he's always in the middle of the action. He's a tank. He has this shield protecting him. It's cool to be used in battle.
I mean, how important it is to decide, like, which character you should choose for certain boss battles? Because it could get, like, the boss, I mean, I can't say who it is, but the boss that I played, it was very challenging, man. And I think I got super, super close based on the characters that I picked. But how important is that to pick the right characters? Because all of them have different powers and stuff like that.
It is indeed important. It depends mostly on the type of mission objective you have, the type of enemy you are facing in that battle, and especially the behavior of the boss if you are fighting against the boss. But it's even more important the way you spend your power orbs in the character skill tree, because you can finish the whole game with the characters you want. There is no more powerful character than another, I will say. So you can finish the game with the first three character or a pick of the other at your choice. But it's really the most important thing is wisely using the power orbs into the character skill tree to make the perfect choices, depending mostly on your playstyle.
Like, one of the things that I like to do was, like I said earlier, it was the Rabbit Yoshi. That's the name of the character, right? Because it's funny, but at the same time, like, I feel like I could do more dashes, more stuff than the other characters and stuff. So to me, I was like, let me go. I was more focused on that character, you know. But Mario, the thing that I like about Mario, to me, was more like powerful with the weapons that he had. So yeah, you're right. It depends on the level and depends on how you upgrade your characters too. So really cool. Really cool to know. So Luigi and Mario, they're kind of the same in like the Nintendo world. So how challenging was it to come up with like concept, like weapons for Luigi and Mario in this game?
The inspiration I had for Luigi was Luigi Mansion, because Luigi is using a weapon that looks like a hover, no?
Yeah.
And Mario, I couldn't resist, but I wanted him to use a hammer. if you remember the original game Donkey Kong. Yeah. So I had to. And for the guns that Mario is using, my inspiration was a movie, The Fifth Element. There are those very technological guns that I really loved, and I wanted to bring that to Mario because it was honestly fitting well, like having a touch of futuristic element. And to go back a little bit to what you were saying before, yes, I love Rabbids Yoshi because, and Rabbids Mario, because what you can do is Rabbids Mario, you use magnet dance, all the enemies comes around Rabbids Mario, then you use Rabbids Yoshi to multiple, to do multiple dashes, even five, if you spend the right orbs on the character skill tree, and maybe you have Mario with the hammer that eats all of them at the same time, and Rabbids Mario can finish them off with a shotgun. So,
no, what they do like about the Yoshi one, the Yoshi Rabbit, is the shield also, because I could do that, the dash, and just protect myself just in case more enemies comes, or also the screaming one, which was hilarious. The screams and the character moves away. So I did that, and I took advantage. Mario was powering up, so he grabbed his gun and shoot the character once they moved away from Yoshi Rabbit. So that was pretty cool. So another thing too. So how hard was it to get approved from Nintendo giving a Mario a gun? Because it could be kind of challenging for Nintendo, and they're very careful with stuff like that. So how was it challenging for you to get the okay from them once you show that concept?
We mostly use the common sense. I know Nintendo very well. I'm a Nintendo player since the very beginning. And we said, okay, if we are going to do a game where Mario is using a weapon, then we need to spend time to propose them the right kind of weapon. So we spent a lot of time doing multiple sketches, like kilos of paper, till we find the right colorful mood for them, the right shape. We wanted them to be crazy. We wanted them to be colorful. We wanted them to be funny. But at the same time, and not realistic at all, but at the same time, we wanted the player to understand the function just by looking at them. And once we finally went in Kyoto proposing our array of weapons, they were happy, and Miyamoto-san approved them. So it was a big reward for all of us.
So I was excited when I heard you guys were adding co-op for this. I'm like, all right, now we're talking co-op. So for those that don't know much about the co-op part of the game, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Listen. So we did the co-op for two main reasons. First reason is you, as soon as you get to play the story mode, you get used to use the three characters and all the synergy between them. The co-op challenges are putting you in a different situation because now you are using four characters, and this is really leveraging all the possibilities and the chain action possible between all of them. And second, we really wanted to leverage the discussion between two friends playing in the same living room. I'm a player that is, I'm used to play with my friends in the living room. I love to have my friends nearby me, eating something, drinking something, and playing together. And it's something that I was really, really willing to have in this game as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of companies like to release games just online. And to me, like you said, local co-op, we've been missing that a lot in a lot of games. So I think it was good that you added that, because when I started playing with, I just played with like a random person here that was also playing the game. And yo, we started talking a lot, like strategizing, okay, I'll do this, don't do this, hold on. So we were like helping each other in order for us to kill the 14 enemies that in the challenge and the stage and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Now, my question is, what if you don't have an extra controller? Can you still detach from the Switch and play like that, right?
You absolutely, yeah. We designed it for this very reason. You can use two ProPad controller, you can use two pair of Joy-Con, or if you have just one console, you unplug the Joy-Con and share it.
And how many co-op levels is available?
18.
Oh, snap. You guys are going to be there for a while playing it.
Plus, every time you play, you unlock a new level of difficulty, so stuff are changing, and so you can keep going on for a while.
Now, when you say difficulty in the single player and also co-op, is it more like more enemies, or the enemies are more stronger, you lose more health?
It depends on the map. Sometimes it's about having more enemies, sometimes it's about their health points.
Okay. Well,
but for the story mode, there is only one level of difficulty.
Okay. But thanks a lot. And when release date for this game?
It's the 29th of August, so it's very near. And I'm super excited to know what the player thinks about this game and receive their feedback.
My last question. You were at E3, and you've been also to a couple media events promoting the game. How's it been, like, the reaction behind the scenes, just checking out people playing the game, and everybody had, like, their own way how they play, and the reaction too when, you know, they're having fun?
It was incredible. Like, at E3, I was witnessing people in the queue for 6 or 7 hours, don't caring at all about all the time they were spending there just to play our game. And at the end of it, they were still happy. I said, oh my God, this is incredible. I can't believe that. And even when I went back at home, I was seeing all these YouTube videos of people that maybe just before E3, they were not super happy about this game, completely changing their mind. And it was a huge reward for me, but for all the team.
It feels good though, right?
Yes, really a lot. It's something that I will never forget.
Thanks a lot, and congrats, man. Great game. All right, no problem, man.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so shout out to our sponsor, Western Digital. With WD, you're now able to get a solid-state drive and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your game library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for limited time, Gamertag Radio listeners, you could get 20% off WD SDDs with coupon code WDGTR. Let me repeat that. Coupon code WDGTR. That's 20% off WD SDDs. Find out more at WD.com/GTR. Remember, take advantage of this. This is 20% off. You're not going to get this anywhere else. Look, I just got back from the trip here from New York City. You know, I recorded a Mario Rabbids interview and everything. And let me tell you, that took a lot of space to record a lot of those gameplay footage, because I was there for a while. You know, I was there to cover. I captured the gameplay of the co-op mode and also single player. So by the time I transferred to my laptop, oh my God, it was a lot of space. So like I said, it takes a lot of space. So take advantage of this. This is a great, great offer right here. Limited time offer. So once again, let me repeat this. Gamertag Radio listeners can get 20% off WD SDDs. And here's the coupon code WDGTR. And remember, for more information, go to WD.com/GTR. Should we go with the fan mail questions, Pete?
Sure. Do you want to do the audio one, or do you want to go written first?
Let's go with the audio. Let's go with the audio one, because this is a pretty good one.
Okay. Yep.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
What's up, Pete Rock? What's going on, Danny? And how are you, Parrish? This is Keon calling from Baltimore with a quick question for you guys in somewhat of a Miss Cleo prediction. Oh, that was horrible on my part. But I wanted to say, ask, what game do you think is going to flop? Better yet, I'll just be even more specific. Do you guys think that Crackdown 3 is going to be a big letdown? I must say, I've seen the latest footage, and oof, the demo that, good grief. I'm losing his name right now. It's right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it. Larry Herb. That demo, oh my gosh. It did not put the game in a very, very shining light, as it were. I am predicting that the game is not going to be quite up to the level. But this is where it gets even more interesting. I think that Agents of Mayhem will be a better Crackdown than Crackdown will be. I don't know. I mean, Agents of Mayhem looks awful good. So I wanted to get you guys' opinion on that. Do you think that Agents of Mayhem will be a better Crackdown than Crackdown 3 actually is? Thank you guys for all of the hard work, all of the just countless hours of content that you guys provide. Good grief, it is always, always appreciated. And with that, guys, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, so what do you think, Danny?
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about sales numbers from both Crackdowns. The first one, I think it was a lot more. They added, if you will buy the first Crackdown, you get you could try out, I believe was the Halo 3 beta. I think that, yeah, it was like around that time they came out.
Right.
So that helped the sales numbers went up. It was like a new IP. Not that many people knew about Crackdown and so on. The game was overall fun. Story was eh. It was okay. Second game came out. It was okay. Not to in my opinion, I think the first one was a little bit better in my opinion. But both games worldwide global sold more than 1 million copies. Now, I think that sales wise is going to do okay. You know, the fans are going to buy it no matter what. Is it going to be better than the first two games? Don't know yet. I played it during E3. I had a blast. It was a little bit buggy. There was some parts that was a little too slow, in my opinion. But when I was playing, I was just trying to collect orbs the whole time. I was collecting orbs, and I had a great time. And I told P in Paris, yo, it wasn't that bad. Crackdown wasn't that bad. Now, I know Keon wants to know, is Agents of Mayhem is going to be better than Crackdown? Maybe. I think so. It is probably going to be better than Crackdown 3, in my opinion. I think so. But is it going to be a major failure once this game comes out? I don't know. I think it's going to be okay. It's going to get decent reviews. It's not going to be game of the year or anything like that. But your thoughts, P, because I think it's going to be in the middle. Not the greatest, but not the worst. But I think it's still going to be enough for us to have fun with the game. That's my opinion.
I am on the fence, and I'm scared for the future of the Crackdown, title. I love the first one. I think that was a universal success. I think if you ask gamers if they, you know, what their thoughts on, obviously, I think the first one, simply because it changed and broke the model for, you know, traditional, you know, shooters. I mean, it was just a lot of fun, you know, the orbs. I mean, I still have that sound in my head. If I hear it, you know, you're like, you start looking around, where's the orb? That being said, two started getting away from the way what we thought Crackdown was going to be. Three, I don't know if it'll be the flop that some people are saying. I just don't have the confidence that it's going to be what everybody else is looking for or what everybody else is expecting. Obviously, I think the hype machine has gotten, you know, has gotten started, you know, with Microsoft, you know, getting Terry Crews in on the marketing and stuff like that. And that obviously, you know, marketing helps, but I just don't think that it's going to be a universal success like Crackdown 1 was.
Remember though, that the Halo beta helped big time.
Obviously, but that's a beta. Yeah. That was still early on in the Xbox IP series of 360 games. So that helped a little, but the game itself sold it, you know, not just because of, no, not just having the beta. I think the game itself, it was a cool story. The game itself, the gameplay, the ability to constantly increase or improve your jumping or your strength or your bullet sponginess or your ability to use guns or your driving, all of those things as a combined was great. You know, throw in the Titanfall 2 scenario of where they're launching. That's not going to help them as well. Keon also used as an example that he thinks that Agents of Mayhem might be the better version of that game. I don't know if I could disagree with him on that. I think he might be right. From what I played at what I played at E3 was a lot of fun, and shout out to Deep Silver on that. I mean, they're doing decent work on that. I like that. That's, you know, I like that it's not going to be the end of GAT and the rest of the Saints Row crew. I like that this is essentially a spinoff of that. That being said, I don't even know if Agents of Mayhem is going to be that much of a success. I hope it is, because I love the Saints Row theme and the concept. And I hope it does.
But my question is to you guys watching this or listening to this, when you say flop, are you talking about like review wise? Are you talking about sales wise? Because I think sales wise is going to sell. The fans of Xbox are going to buy it no matter what, just because it's Crackdown, just because it's an Xbox exclusive. Is it going to hit over a million globally? Maybe, I guess, you know, but I think the game is going to be like in the middle. Like, it's probably going to get like a lot of like maybe sevens, a couple six, which is not that bad. It's not bad, you know.
But again, that depends on what you consider the success, right? Because Microsoft is going to consider the sales number versus the critical scores from, you know, from media or just the gaming, you know, gamers in general. Do they care whether it's a 7 or an 8 or even a 9 out of 10 game, or do they care if it sells 3 million copies, right? Because you have a game like PUBG, who's sold 5 million copies early access in 6 weeks or 7 8 weeks. You tell me.
But Pete, you can't compare. I'm talking about like exclusive wise. Like, Microsoft, their thing is, we have an exclusive game for the Xbox One. Buy it during the Xbox One X. They're promoting it big time. Like, that, they care about that, so people could buy the console. It's not like the game is gonna sell. It's not gonna be no Battlegrounds or anything like that. You know, it's not gonna be Game of the Year, but it's gonna sell. It's gonna sell, I think. And also, Paris sent us an email replying to this voicemail. So, let me read it very quick. This is from Paris. I know Paris is watching here. He's like, come on, guys, read my email. Blah, blah, blah. Next time, Paris, be on the show. All right. Anyways, here it is. He said, I agree with the voicemail. Crackdown 3 is going to be a flop this holiday. I truly think Wolfenstein 2, for as good as probably, will be also a sales disappointment. October 27th is the brutal launch day. Plus, you have Call of Duty and Battlefront 2 releasing right after that, which I agree. I agree. It's compared to these games are going to demolish Crackdown. But I think the fans of Xbox are going to buy it, and I think it's going to be enough to get close to globally, not state-wise, globally. I think it's going to be close to like a million, because that's one thing I have to give props to Microsoft. They're really good with the marketing. That's hands down. Let's be real. They're really, really good with marketing. And even this, I was reading the other day that Dead Rising, the last Dead Rising that came out for the Xbox, it was like close to like a million copies, nearly a million copies sold worldwide. And that game, I think, is more popular than Crackdown. Way more popular. I think it's going to be around those sales numbers, I think, you know. So, but if it doesn't hit a million, is it still a flop though? Like, I don't know.
If for something that's being touted as a system seller or a AAA IP, I don't have confidence in Crackdown 3 popping the numbers that you think it's going to do. Danny, you're. I think in today's day, gamers have become more fickle, and more frugal with what they're going to throw their money at. And if this game doesn't hit on all cylinders early on, if people are not even convinced or feel confident off of what Microsoft, what Microsoft is trying to tout, you can't expect good numbers. And if they don't have the numbers, it's the death knell for the series. So hopefully what we saw on that gameplay improves over time, because they still hopefully have time to fix it. But if it's this late in this, are we still on a 2017 release schedule for this game?
Is it? Let me look it up. Well, let me say something real quick. I see a lot of people saying, yeah, it's going to be a failure and all this stuff. Now, again, definition of a failure. When it says, when I say sales numbers, right? A couple people say a million is a failure. Now, it depends how much you invested in the game, money-wise. If you put a lot of money, and you're not getting back extra money, income-wise, back because of the sales, then yeah, it's a flop. But if you put, let's say, not much money in investing in the game to develop this and everything, and you got a lot of money back and it didn't reach a million, then the game is a success. Am I right, P, or not?
I don't know.
That's what it means. It's not based on numbers. It's based on how much you invested in the game and how much you sold too, and how much you got back from it too. It's a combination of all that. So, and look,
but that's not
look,
the ultimate. I'll tell you,
this is my opinion, guys. I know a lot of people disagree with me. That's fine. But this is my opinion. You know, it's not being a fanboy, Paris. It's not Paris. You're saying all these things. Next time, be on the show. And we'll talk. I want to say this very quick, because I see a lot of people saying Sword and Shield fam. Look, I'm not even a crazy fan of Crackdown. I'm not a hardcore fan of Crackdown. I'm just being real that the fanatics of Xbox are going to buy it. Some might not. Probably they're going to move on and play other things. But a game is going to sell. You know, is it game of the year? No, hell no. It's not going to be game of the year. I never said that either. You know, but... Yeah, glad that you're not this episode. Yeah, Paris. Yeah, be glad. Be glad, yeah.
Let's just put it this way. Base it off of the last two or three major IPs that Microsoft Studios has put out between, what was it, Sunset Overdrive, which was it a sales success? Was that considered a success?
Depend how much money they got from return. The return
were
from
they
that.
Critical successes? And
I don't know
if you've got a game like Crackdown 3, which appears to be trending. And again, I can't give a definitive answer because I haven't actually put hands on to the actual game. Wink, wink. but they need something to convince consumers to go out of the way on a busy holiday season to spend money on this game. And if they can't do that, if people are going to say, okay, there's Crackdown 3, but there's Call of Duty the GOAT, there's Battlefront, and what other games are coming out around that, and any of those other games that are coming out around that time, you put those down in, you put those in comparison. And I really don't think that Crackdown 3 is going to be the one that people gravitate towards after the fact. Maybe they do that with something else. Maybe they do that with, you know, other titles, or maybe that overall number trends better. Hopefully that number trends upwards later after the holiday season, where people see it, and hopefully it's a success enough where people are like, similar to Titanfall 2. People realized after the holiday season that, whoa, this was a good game. It could have come out any other time and been a critical success, but because it came out during that launch window, it was not a flop, but it was deadpanned, right? So again, Microsoft really needs to make sure that the message put across for Crackdown 3 is enough to sell units, because if they don't sell units, it's going to be considered a business failure, and business failures for titles usually don't end up well.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think you guys see from the bigger picture, guys. I think we're caught up with this whole... I agree some of the things that you guys have been saying, Pete. Like, I'm not trying to defend them or anything like that. But there's people out there that don't read websites. They don't go to YouTube or Twitch or listen to the podcast. They just know, oh my God, it's Crackdown. I remember playing the first one. Maybe they didn't play the second one, and they're just gonna buy it no matter what. So the game is not gonna be a huge success. Like, oh my God, breaking numbers. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's gonna have their audience out there. They're gonna buy that type of game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't understand what I'm trying to say, Pete?
I get where you're coming from, but yeah. There's, like I said, I think consumers in 2017 do a lot more research on games before they jump into buying a game. And Microsoft is almost paper thin these days on IPs. If they can't do something and drop a game like Forza for like Crackdown, like they need to drop a Crackdown, or they need to drop Forza every time on their titles, or else you're pushing your constituency away.
Mm-hmm.
Where is, and actually that's exactly where I was going. Where is the game from Microsoft aside from Forza that says, I need to go get an Xbox One S, Xbox One X, or I need to build myself a PC and play games on the Xbox ecosystem? Where is that game? I don't think Crackdown is going to be that title right now.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that at all. But as of right now, third-party games are the ones that are going to be shining more than first-party games. Let's be real. That's how it is. Even for the PlayStation 4, people are still going to buy a PlayStation 4, maybe because of Destiny 2 or maybe even Star Wars. It's not, they probably don't know much about the new first party IPs that came out for the PlayStation 4, but they do know about Destiny 2 and Star Wars. Those third party games are the ones that the reason people are buying consoles nowadays. It's not, in my opinion, this generation, I think the only company that been doing great with that has been Nintendo, of like with their first party games. People will buy a Switch because of Zelda, because of Mario Kart. I just haven't seen that with Sony and Xbox in this generation. Third parties are the reason why people are buying the console.
So you're saying titles like Horizon Zero Dawn isn't one that sits in that upper echelon of games that you need to go out and get?
For the
games
hardcore,
like Last
yes.
of Us,
for-
games like Uncharted, you're saying they don't? Where's the one for Microsoft? They only have one, and that's Forza. And even then, I don't know if there's enough there.
No, I, Pete, I know what you're saying. I'm saying in this generation, Nintendo, in my opinion, has been doing a better job on convincing people to buy their consoles instead of, I'm talking about first party games. Now, the majority of the reason why people are buying systems is because of third party games. Am I right or not?
I think you're 100% wrong, dude. I think Sony's first party.
Of course, yes, they do have an amazing lineup, but don't get me wrong. But you bought a PlayStation because of Destiny. It wasn't because of Uncharted.
And Destiny. So
But the majority of people is because of Destiny or Battlefront or one of those like third party games. I in my opinion, I think so, man. Don't get me wrong, they have a great lineup. The first party, way more than Xbox, way more Sony, hands down. But I think the majority of the ads that we've seen from Sony hasn't been first party games. What has it been? The majority of ads that you've seen of PlayStation, what has it been? Third party games. Am I right or wrong?
I don't know. You're
okay. Look it up. I'm telling you right now. Not even Xbox is doing a great job with first party games. I think the only game that I could say, actually two games I could say that they're doing better is Gears of War and Forza. That's it. That's it. First party wise. That's it. Quantum Break was okay. I mean, I don't know. Halo was all right. Multiplayer is fun, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
did people really disagree with me or what? Like, I think so, dude.
There's no opinion. There's no reason. Gears is the step in the right direction for Microsoft, but they need more. It's not enough. It's not enough, unfortunately. I mean,
no, it's not. Like I said, it's not. Pete, compared to Sony, Sony is kicking butt to Xbox. Come on. First party wise, of course. But I'm talking about, I'm not talking about us. Now, I'm not talking about people watching this. I'm talking about the majority of the people that I know that are casual gamers. They are buying consoles because of third-party games. It could be because of sports. It could be, let's say, Grand Theft Auto. I'm talking about those type of games. It's not because of the first part. They probably will discover Horizon, never heard of Horizon. They'll discover it and they're like, yo, let me try this out. It's, you know.
I don't know. I feel that we could go around in this Chinese fire drill for an hour and you're...
No, Recore was horrible. That game was bad. I didn't like that game at all.
Yeah. I'm sorry. No.
Wait. I read what Paris wrote.
Justifying Xbox's failure by downplaying PlayStation.
No, man. I'm not saying that, dude. Man, you guys don't understand what I'm trying to say, man. When I'm saying this year so far, because look, Nintendo, they try their best to convince people to buy the Wii U from the last generation. It was just not enough. And plus, they were not getting third-party support. You need third-party support in order for your console to sell a lot. Sony, number one, when it comes to like first party, they way more than Xbox and so on, right? But I'm talking about the majority of the people, casual gamers, not hardcore gamers. I'm not saying that. Like casual gamers, they will buy a console because of maybe Assassin's Creed or why is it you think all these companies are doing exclusive deals, is like exclusive temporary DLC content deals for their console? It's because third party is the reason why people are purchasing consoles. It helped Sony with Destiny with the original Destiny. It helped Sony big time. Let's be real. The majority of people bought that version than Xbox, hands down. It's because of third-party games. Red Dead Redemption. Why do you think Sony's is probably doing a marketing deal with Rockstar Games? Because that game is going to help the sales of PlayStation.
Hands because they down, have a much larger install base.
Of course, that too. But look at Anthem. But look at Anthem. Perfect example. Anthem. Right. Microsoft has a marketing deal with EA, but EA could have done a marketing deal with PlayStation. They have a way larger fan base there, way more. But what happened? Microsoft invested more money to get that deal, even though Sony is demolishing them with sales because third-party games helps sell consoles, man, big time. It's not all about first-party. Yeah, the first-party, don't get me wrong, in my opinion, I love exclusive content, exclusive games, but at the same time, you need third party. Even the Dreamcast failed and they had top-notch first party games. It failed because there was many reasons, but one of them is not getting that third party support compared to the PlayStation. Third party helps, man.
Like I said, I think we can sit here and argue this until the end of the hour. And by end of the hour, I mean by like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's
obviously
all good.
Obviously we have differing opinions on this. I just feel that Sony has done a better job marketing their console, but doing it successfully for not just third party, but highlighting the fact that they've got a rock solid first party lineup between God of War.
Oh yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming. Spider-Man, hands down. Explode and destroy.
That's going to be big. That's going to be big, big.
The Last of Us 2. Mm-hmm. The Uncharted game that's coming out. The DLC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many things going in that. I don't know. I just don't see how to go back to where we're going, where this conversation started, which was Crackdown 3. I don't see...
I know.
how Crackdown 3 is going to force people to go and say, I'm going to play that. I need more. And please, Microsoft, show me something that says, okay, I need to go and click that Xbox button on my Windows 10 PC and say, buy now, play. Give me a reason to do that. Because right now, there's nothing convincing me. Nothing is telling me to go play it. And I have, and if it's not going to do that for me, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but for me personally, I'm not going to buy it because I don't see it as something. And even that small instance of gameplay that you and I played, Danny, at E3.
Oh, Crackdown. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Crackdown 3 is what started the conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What we played wasn't enough to convince me. Please bring me back to what I first played in Crackdown 1 and I'll hit buy. But until they can do that, and I don't know if being 4 months out is enough time.
Mm-hmm. Now, my question to you and to everybody else that's watching or listening to this, if let's say Microsoft had no first party games for this holiday, and just depends so much on the third party, is that a bad thing?
Yes. Because there's no need to buy a $500 console when you can get it for $400. When you can buy a PlayStation 4 for $400. Why buy the more expensive one if you can get one that's going to do just as well? Maybe you'll get a flop or two, a teraflop or two less of performance, but why spend $500 on an Xbox One X if you could get the same gameplay from a PlayStation 4.
Now, I think Scorpio or Xbox One X, next year is going to be a lot better. They're going to have better games, better lineup, better everything. And if you skip the Scorpio, you're still going to play the same freaking games on your Xbox. Even an original Xbox, you'd be fine. So, you don't have... Honestly... The hardest part is for Microsoft to convince those that buy our new console. That's going to be a hard part if they don't have the software to convince people, man. And especially for $499.
Yeah, they need to show me enough ancillary reasons aside from 6 teraflops and the power of X. Yeah,
exactly.
Give me reason to spend the extra. And if you can't do that with your first party games, then what's the purpose? Mm-hmm. What's the reason?
That's why I said from the beginning, while everybody was praising the whole specs and all this stuff, and I said, okay, that's cool. Where's the games? You guys are super excited about power. Where's the games? Yeah. Without the games,
there's no reason to buy it. I can just buy it on my PC and just play it on my PC.
I'm having more fun with my Nintendo Switch than the Xbox right now because there's content that I've been loving, man. Mario Kart. I've been playing, you know, Zelda, Splatoon 2. Yo, they have a solid library, man. And I've been playing more of that. And it's not no 4K console. It's not powerful like PlayStation 4 and Xbox. Because at the end of the day, I only care about having fun. I only care about that. I don't care about the whole power and graphics. That doesn't make a game better. So Xbox, if you really want to convince people, you have to show a library, a great library. And I think this year, as a launch for Xbox One X, next year they're gonna have better games, and then you probably convince people to buy. I'm talking about like Anthem and so on, and who knows what else they're gonna show next year. But
well, speaking of power, and I know I want to go off script here.
Okay,
because I know we had an agenda to do on this show, but I want to do a quick review on Fractal Designs. Celsius S36 CPU cooler, because we're talking about power and you brought up hardware and stuff like that. They were kind enough to send me the Celsius S36 all-in-one cooler to do a review. You know, I got it. It's an Asetek design all-in-one, so it's not like the videos or the pictures you see on the internet where there's tubes and bottles of cooling liquid. It's all-in-one enclosed system, so you just plug it in and go. And I'm shocked. I was kind of hesitant in doing an all-in-one cooler, simply because I was unfamiliar with them. I had always used bigger fans on my PC, So I was like, I was kind of iffy on whether I really wanted to do this. So just before I get into the actual review, I want to give you a quick rundown of the system. I've got an i7-7700K processor, an MSI Z270 Pro with 16 gigs of RAM. So the ambient temperature in my office is usually about 72 to 74 degrees. Thank you. but if you look at the cooler itself, it's essentially the radiator, which is where the 320 millimeter fans are attached. You have two braided cables coming out, and that's where the liquid comes out onto the block where you mount it onto your PC, onto your board to cool your CPU. The block itself actually has a rubber switch that you can rotate left and right for auto or PWM. PWM allows you to moderate the speed at which your fans run. I put it at automatic, and I get about 1900 RPMs on there. By putting it at PWM at full load, I get almost at or about 3000 RPMs on the fans. You can kind of hear it sometimes. Me, because I've got the Fractal Design case, it's got a lot more sound dampening on there. So it's my concern was, because it's such a large radiator, when I put it up, I was going to lose a lot of my sound dampening, but it hasn't really been that bad. So I kind of dig it. That being said, if you look at the cooler, typically it sits inside your cage, so you don't really see it a lot. But for those that would have like a glass or a plexiglass window into their PC, it sticks with Fractal Design's minimalist design aspects. You know, it's clean. It's got, you know, minimal graphics. It's, I don't want to say it's plain, but like I said, it's kind of like what you would see at IKEA. It's simple and minimalist. And that's, you know, if that's something that I really like and appreciate. So that's, I'm glad that it stuck with it and they didn't do anything garish with like RGB lighting or anything like that. Installation was a breeze. It took me longer to take my stuff apart than it was to actually mount it. So that was really, really quick. And because it's hardware only, there's no software required. It's plug and play. As soon as you plug it in and got it going, it just works. And everything's essentially done for you because all of the liquid and everything runs internally. Another good thing is that it offers Ryzen support right out of the box. So onto the stats. I know people are probably wondering, okay, so how did this perform? How did this do? So I used a series of applications. I used RealTemp, to monitor and gauge my temperatures. I use Superposition from Unigen, Cinebench 15, Prime 95. And so for the magic numbers, average temperatures on my computer were around 36 degrees. That's probably the best number that I was averaging the entire time during my tests with my air cooler. I was using a Cooler Master Hyper 212. So it's like a big fan like this big, and it's monster. When I put Prime 95 on, it actually ran my temperatures to about 99 degrees average on my CPU. And this is the big one. When I ran the exact same test with the Fractal Design Celsius S36 cooler, my temperatures dropped to about 82 degrees. So for it to drop almost 20 degrees, you know, the 15 plus degree average when running the small FFT Prime 95 test, which is the one that actually generates the most heat on your die, to see that drop 15 plus degrees across the board is really, really good. And that overall, on all the other tests, whether it was the Cinebench R CPU test, heavy load, or superposition, all of the temp drops from air was like a 50 degree change in difference. Like if I was running heavy load, it went from 39 degrees to 74 degrees temperature. If I was running Cinebench, it went like 34 degrees to 81 degrees. And on Prime 95 from 37 to 99. And then in juxtaposition with using the Celsius cooler, running heavy load dropped to 63 degrees at full run. Cinebench was only 72 degrees. And like I said, Prime 95 was 81 degrees temperature wise. So all in all, I mean, it's for the cost, it's only $125. You can buy it on Amazon, Newegg. I don't believe you can buy it from Best Buy, but you can buy it from pretty much most other online retailers. for me personally, and I'm not saying it just because they sent it to me, I ran tests for days. I ran temperature tests playing PUBG, and it was amazing. The temperature drop of 10 to 15 plus degrees on your cooler or on your CPU when using the cooler is an automatic buy for me personally. So had they not, it was actually on my cart at Amazon to buy. When they reached out to me to do the review, obviously I jumped at it. So yes, you know, they did send it to me, you know, and once again, shout out to Fractal Design for sending the cooler out. Appreciate it. And yeah, I definitely recommend buying it if you're in the market for a CPU cooler.
Oh man, I'm just reading the comments. People are hilarious here. I'll say this, man, because I feel like people worry so much on like the stuff that I'm planning to do or planning to buy in the future. So I'll say this, and that was gonna be my last time, because I feel like, what is the freaking point? Why are people so worried about the stuff that I'm gonna buy or not? You know. So I'll say this. And I've been saying this for freaking weeks, because I think people are not really paying close attention to the things I've been saying. Like I said from the beginning, I don't care so much about power and all that stuff. I have a 4K TV. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm not buying an Xbox One X on day one because of 4K. I said, if I skip it, I'm fine. I'll be good. I'm still could play the same games on my Xbox One S. Now, if there's like a crazy deal, super cheap, even the PlayStation 4 Pro, super cheap, like a deal that I'm like, yo, I have to buy this. I'm going to do it. Then I'll buy it. But have I ever said on the show, Pete, and you correct me if I'm wrong, have I ever said, yo, day one, I'm buying it, I'm pre-ordering it? Have I ever said that? Yes or no? Because I feel like no matter what I say, people are still, wait, so why are you buying it? So wait, you're skipping it? If I skip it, who gives a crap if I skip it, yo? Or if I buy it, who gives a crap? Like, is it in my money? Is it in my decision to decide what I'm going to do?
No, you don't have a choice.
So the thing is, like I said, guys, the only reason why Xbox One X got my attention was because of VR. They didn't talk about VR, which I even asked Albert Pernello during the E3, the interview. I asked him about why not VR. They're gonna wait for next year. Okay, fine, I'll wait till next year. And it's not even 100% if it was gonna be good or not. We don't know if it's gonna function correctly and perfectly. We don't know yet, so I'm still undecided, you know. So am I planning to buy, as of right now, am I planning to buy an Xbox One X on day one? No. Am I gonna miss it? No. I can skip it and play the same games, and I'll still be good. So, who cares? Let's move on. Like, who cares if
you're the
I
one
buy
that
it
brought
or,
it on, though? You're the one. That
no,
kept
I
the
bought it. No. I'm bringing it up because I see people still bringing that up in the chat, and even Paris is bringing that up too. I even said that I prefer to invest on the PC this year because I want our stream to be even better. I want, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I'd rather focus on that than an Xbox One X. Like, it's like, seriously, I really don't care about the 4K stuff. I don't care. Don't care about that stuff at all. Don't care about power. I only care about library. Do you have a library right now for me to convince me to buy it? No. In my opinion, no. They don't. So I'm not going to buy a system. I'm not going to buy the system.
Are you buying Crackdown
for the 50,000th time? Huh?
So let's go back to the original thing that we all started.
If I'm going to buy it, well, let's be real. Microsoft is going to send us copies, and I'm going to be real if it's good or not. They're going to send us copies. They always do.
So take yourself out of content creator, podcaster, extraordinaire, Danny Pena. You're Nano. You're your brother. Are you buying Crackdown 3?
As of right now, no. That never really convinced me. Is it a bad game? It's okay. Now, Forza, I'm in there because I love Forza. Now, I prefer Forza Horizon than the regular Forza game. But it's not, I'm telling you, like, Crackdown is not the only freaking game that's coming up for Xbox. There's other choices that you get independent-wise or if you want third party, you could play Destiny 2 if you want there. You don't have to, but it's I don't know, man. I'm just, you know this, I'm just tired of the whole, like, in a way it feels like kind of like a fanboy thing, I think. And when I say my opinion right away, it's like I'm defending Xbox. No, I'm not defending it. I'm just giving you my freaking opinion, what I think, man. It's just my opinion. Am I saying that I'm right? No. But I take a stand on, like Paris said, to take a stand. Yeah, I take a stand on my opinion, man. And if I believe in this, I believe in this, man. Look, some of you probably think that Switch Online is not the greatest. In my opinion, I think it's good enough for me to play online. And I'm happy with it. And I think it was so worth it to buy a system. I'm having a lot more fun on the Switch right now than the Xbox. Right now. Right now. And it's the truth.
Okay. Well, again, and we've all said this, whether it's Paris or you or me, it doesn't matter the piece of plastic or metal that you put the disc in or you download the game on, as long as you're having fun.
But that's what it matters at the end of the day.
As long as you're having fun, and as long as the game is good, because if the game is crap, it doesn't matter if you're playing it in 4K or you're playing it on the Switch, it's still crap. So this should be more of an encouragement to developers to make a better game.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't put out trash. Like put a better quality game and make the game sphere better by putting out better content, you know, better original content. I mean, I had a lot more fun at the indie place probably than a lot of the other places at E3. That indie showcase that we got to see where I played games like Super Lucky's Tale, Tacoma, games like those, you know, obviously PUBG, you know, those games catch it. So those get, you know, make the better game, make the games that people are like, you know, that make you, you know, turn your head and be like, oh damn, I didn't expect that. Super Lucky's Tale is a perfect example for me. I didn't expect that game to be as good as it was. So once I actually played it, I was just like, oh damn, you know, okay. Yeah, this is it. So.
I don't know. I feel that people care so much about it. I don't know. It's like, yo, I'm being real right now. Like, I'm not the greatest. Like, yo, I have opinions. Sometimes it could be, you know, it's probably the truth. It probably, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You know? So I just wanted to say that because after a while, it gets really freaking old. Like, why people care so much on what I spend money on? I really don't care. I really don't care. People's like, one thing I want to say though, out of all the games that we play at E3, the two games that I've been saying since day one at E3 was like the game of the show was what? Mario Odyssey and Mario Rabbids. And we played it during E3 and we were playing it for a very long time. I didn't talk about Anthem. I was like, yo, Anthem is cool. Yeah, it looks great, but it's not going to like convince me to buy a game just because it looks good. Is it fun? That's the thing that I care about. Is it fun? And I think a lot of people should think about more about that, man, instead of the whole graphics and power and the price. And nah, man, let's think about games that's going to be a lot of fun for us, man, as gamers. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Are you off the soapbox now?
No, I have to. It's pretty freaking annoying, man. It's like, oh my God, really? Really? Who gives a crap, man? Who cares? Let me tell you this. I have never asked a question to P in Paris like, yo, why you guys are buying Destiny 2? Why? Just because of the name? I never asked that question to you guys. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you guys are having fun. So as long as you guys are having fun, that's all that matters, man. That's all that matters, yo. So let's move on with this. Let's move on. All right. So anything else, Pete, you want to say before I wrap it up?
No. We're probably going to have an after show here. For those of you that are here for the live stream here on Twitch, stick around because I know Paris is dying to get dropped in. He wants me to pull him into this. I need to do some last minute bleepery here to try to pull him into this call. I'll just add him into the Skype audio, so we'll have him. Yeah. We won't have visual salt. We'll just have audio salt. on the stream.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there for the after show. So other than that, shout out to, you know, all of our subscribers. We had a couple overnight. So I want to shout out. Mm-hmm. And we had one on the show, Mr. Seti J. Shout out for the subscription. Driver C subscription. And ooh, Lady Luck,
what's
34,
up?
Subscribe to the show.
Ooh, Lady. And she made this. Shout out to Lady Luck once again.
Shout out to Lion Jim as well as Liquor and Gun Fun. They both subscribed as well. So thank you, everyone, for the subscriptions. I could go through the list of followers, but I mean, the GTR army has been amazingly strong. I mean, it's that follower count grows daily, and we love it and appreciate it. So thank you, everyone, for hitting that follow and hitting that subscription button, man. We truly do appreciate it.
Great, great conversation. Keep it up, guys. Keep up with the questions here. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And if you want to, check us out on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Now, if you're watching this on Twitch, stay tuned. We're probably going to have a little after show here. And that's about it. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.